are in Parshas Vayikra. So one of the things you'll notice, you open up Chumash Vayikra, and the first word, Vayikra, has a little aleph. A little aleph. Vayikra is written with a little aleph. There are 111 psukim, which is the gematria of the word aleph. So there's a little aleph at the beginning, and the whole parsha is one big aleph. Think about that. 111 psukim in Vayikra. It's Josh Weinberg's Bar Mitzvah Parsha, so happy Bar Mitzvah to my brother. Okay, let's read the Ramban's introduction to Vayikra. He has a little intro. Sefer Vayikra. Okay, just to understand how Vayikra is in many ways a continuation of Chumash Shmos. And in many ways what's going to happen in the Mishkan, as we already learned, is a continuation of what happened at Har Sinai. Okay, so let's see. Okay, Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Hazeh Hu Toras Kohanim V'Leviim. This Sefer... L'chaim. This Sefer... Yuash, I got it. This Sefer is the Torah... This Sefer is the Torah... You just didn't want to interrupt, I understand. Thank you, Kavaldik. Thank you, thank you. L'chaim, this is perfect. This is amazing. No, this is perfect. This is perfect. Sefer Vayikra Hu Toras Kohanim V'Leviim. Have a Sefer Vayikra is the halachos, the Torah, the laws of the Kohanim and the Levim. Yuvor bo inyane karbanos kulan u'mishmeres ha-mishkan. Sefer Vayikra, as the Ramban says, in the next couple of paragraphs, is primarily speaking to the Kohanim, to the Levim. Daber al Aaron ve'al banav. Zabes Aaron ve'al banav. It's always talking to Aaron and his banim. Okay, so this is the sefer of Karbanos, this is the sefer of guarding the Mishkan, Mishmeres HaMishkan. Ki kasher haya sefer echad b'inyan hagalus v'ge'ula mimenu. If we already had a book, what book is that? Shemos. Which the Ramban called the Book of Galus and Ge'ula. So we already experienced our exile and our redemption. V'hishlimo b'inyan oel moed. Uchvod Hashem Asher Mileya Samishkan. And Chaver, how did it end? How did the previous book end? Sefer Shemos ended by establishing an Ohel Moed, by the presence, the Kvod Hashem, the presence of Hashem filling that Mishkan. So now, Tzivo beKarbanos uveMishvar Mishkan. So now you got to learn how to use the building. How do we use the Mishkan? The Karbanos that we bring and guarding, protecting, properly honoring the Mishkan. Shiyua karbanos kapar lehem, that the karbanos, we're human beings, we make mistakes, we need a means of fixing. So Hashem wants to dwell in our midst, but sometimes, you know, like in any relationship, we make mistakes. So to oversimplify completely, when we make a mistake, we say sorry. Sometimes we buy a gift. We try to do a little bit more to show that we're committed to the relationship. So too, we bring karbanos as a kapara. Because we don't want our sins to compound, which would, God forbid, cause the Shechina to depart. We like that the Shechina is with us. We want to have the relationship with Hashem. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I need you to work on the relationship. That's what Karbanos is. I need you to guard the sanctity of that space, the sanctity of the relationship. And Hashem commanded the Kohanim, who draw close to the Mishkan, who are the ones who are front and center in working in the Mikdash, in the Mishkan, that they should live a life of greater sanctity. Shehizir al tumas Mikdash v'kadashav. They have to be careful not to defile the Mikdash or to defile any of the karbanos of the Mikdash. V'gam shelo yehersu lalos el Hashem. And that they shouldn't yehersu, they shouldn't breach, they shouldn't break through to go up to Hashem. In other words, there's places you're allowed to go, places you're not allowed to go. There's areas that are off limits. Kodesh Kadashim. You can't just go to Kodesh Kadashim whenever you want. Kamosha Amar, Dabra al Aaron, Achicha, Val Yavo Bechol Eis, Ala Kodesh, Mi Beis La Parochas, Al Pnei Akaporas, Asher Ala Aaron, Velo Yamus, Kiba Anon, Era Es Akaporas. We'll get to those Psukim Rit Hashem, Parshas Achrei Mos, where Aaron is given a very firm warning. I know you want to be close all the time, but we can't be so close all the time. Kodesh Kadashim. It has to be sacred. It has to be off limits. You can't go in there whenever you want. Kazharas pen yehersu el Hashem liros v'nafal mimenu rav. Says the Ramban, we've learned this theme before, similar to the way that Hashem said at Har Sinai, don't cross certain lines, don't break through to ascend the mountain because it could be damaging to you. In other words, the Mishkan is a continuation of Har Sinai. The same way at Har Sinai, everyone had their spot, had their place. You have to know how to, where to position yourself in the relationship. The same thing is true with the Hashras HaShchina, the Mishkan. There are rules. V'acharkach yagbil ha-mishkan kagbalas Har Sinai. Right? Surround the Mishkan, camp around the Mishkan the way that we want, the way that we camp around Har Sinai. Be'ez hayos sham kavod Elokei Yisrael. Okay, so the Mishkan in many ways is a very important and healthy model of what? Of how to have a relationship. You want someone to be a part of your life, so you have to respect their space, you have to act towards them in a proper way. Right? So we don't want the Shekhinah to depart. So I have to serve in that place, I have to be partners in working together, so to speak. I have to honor the place, I have to know there's a time and a place and a space for all the different things, and it's very much, again, a continuation of Har Sinai. Hashem came down, presented Himself to the world on Har Sinai. After that experience is over, Hashem says, let's continue that experience by the Mishkan. Right? Same way they offered karbanos at the foot of the mountain by Har Sinai. The same way they were told, find your position, don't draw too close at Har Sinai, it could be deadly, so too in the Mishkan. The same way that Hashem's presence filled the world, B'shas Kabbalah Satorah, Hashem's presence fills the Mishkan. Okay? So this is the introduction, or at least part of the introduction, to Sefer Vayikra. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Aleph. Okay, the first Pasuk of Vayikra El Moshe, Hashem calls to Moshe, V'yadaber Hashem Elav Me'oel Moed Lemor, and Hashem speaks to Moshe from the Oel Moed, from the Mishkan, or literally the tent of meeting. Okay, why is Hashem calling to Moshe? Says the Ramban, Amar HaKosu B'Kan, V'yikra El Moshe, V'yadaber Hashem Elav. Hashem calls to Moshe and speaks to him. V'lo kein b'shar ha-makomos. Now, Hashem is always talking to Moshe. Is every time Hashem speaks to Moshe, does it say God called to Moshe? It does say Hashem spoke to Moshe, right? That we have a lot. But this calling, this invitation of Moshe, we don't have every time Hashem's about to talk. Hashem doesn't first invite Moshe and then vayedaber Hashem Moshe. Here, for some reason, there's a Vayikra El Moshe and then a Vayadaber Hashem Elav. Hashem called to him, and then he spoke to him. Why? V'lo kein b'shar makomos. Ramban says, you don't find this in other places. Bavur shelo haya Moshe yachol lavo elo moed. Because Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he's not able to come to the Mishkan. Why not? He was waiting for the call. Why? Lioso nigash elamakom asher shama elokim. Because to draw close to such a holy place, one has to be invited in. Rak b'kriya sheyikro so. Moshe says, Hashem, you told me this is your place. I don't just come storming in whenever I want. I wait for an invitation. That's my way of expressing respect for the place. Right? We see in Megillas Esther, Lahavdil, but Esther's scared to go to Achashverosh without being invited. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm waiting for, with his humility, he didn't assume, oh, I'm worthy of just going to Hashem whenever I want. Moshe Rabbeinu, with incredible humility, said, I'll go to Hashem when Hashem invites me in. Shekvar nemar l'moshe v'dibarti itcha me'al hakapores. Because Hashem already told Moshe and Shemos, I'm going to speak to you from on top of the Aron. Asher iva'id l'cha shama, I'm going to gather there, I'm going to present myself there. So since Moshe understood that this is Hashem's holy place, Hashem is going to manifest between the Kruvim. Moshe wouldn't even walk in. Shalom Aleichem. Moshe wouldn't even walk into the Mishkan. Right? It's not just that he said, well, I can go into the Mishkan, I'm not going to approach the Aron because that's too holy. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, I have to, I don't, this is not my place. Not in the innermost room, not in the outermost room. I'm waiting with humility to be summoned by Hashem. And again, of course, the Ramban, continuing his theme, Kasher Osabar Sinai, just like what? Just like Moshe Rabbeinu waited for Hashem to invite him at Har Sinai. It's a sign of humility. It's a sign of respecting the person or the being, in this case God, and the place. Sha'amar vayikra el Moshe b'yom ha'shvi mitoch hanan. Moshe waits for the call. He doesn't assume that I'm worthy of just charging in. Okay? That's an important lesson. It's a humbling lesson to see how Moshe himself was waiting patiently. Jump a couple of lines where it says, Rabosenu Amru. You see it? Rabosenu Amru. Ki l'chol ha-dibros u'l'chol ha-amiros u'l'chol ha-tzivuyim kadma kriya. However, Chazal tell us that the truth is every time Hashem spoke to Moshe, he started with the Vayikra. Why does the Torah not write that over and over and over again? Why does the Torah not write it every time? Again, in the words of Chazal, kol ha-dibros, all the communications, l'chol ha-amiros, all of the words, kol ha-tzivuyim, all of the commands, everyone was kadma kriya, was preceded by a calling. Hashem called Moshe. Klomar, shayomer elav, Moshe, Moshe, vayomer hineni. Hashem and Moshe always had this conversation. Moshe, Moshe, my beloved Moshe. And Moshe said, yes, Rabbanu Shalom, yes, here I am. V'zed derechiba v'zeiruz l'moshe. Why did Hashem summon Moshe every time and he called him by the double name that we do find? Right. We find in one place in the Torah, Hashem calls Moshe, Moshe. But says the Ramban, he suggests that Hashem always called Moshe, Moshe. Why call someone by a double name? The Ramban says, it's Lashon Chiba. It's a sign of endearment. Ah, Moshe, Moshe. To say someone's name twice, not just once. And furthermore, it was a Zeruz, to be Mizarism, right? You call someone, you say their name a few times, you're eager. Moshe, Moshe, I'm coming right away, yes, Hineni. Right, to be Mizari's Moshe, like we learned from Rav Huttner. Zrizos is not just by matzah, Zrizos is by all mitzvos. So Moshe, in his diligence, in his haste to perform Hashem's will, Hashem called him every time. Okay, so why is it only mentioned here? V'hine al datam hizkir zebekan. So according to Chazal, who suggests that Hashem always said Vayikra al Moshe, so why is it only mentioned here in the Torah? Why dafka, at the beginning of Chumash Vayikra, does it say explicitly, Vayikra el Moshe? Bavur shu tchilas hadibur asher haya elav me'ol moed. Because this is, so to speak, the first call. Again, what does Hashem want in this world? Adir b'tachtonu, he wants a Mishkan. Now Moshe has built the Mishkan. The Mishkan is ready now to serve, to function, to be that meeting place, the Oel Moed, the tent of meeting between human beings and Hashem. So therefore, at the beginning of that journey of using the Mishkan, the Torah says so explicitly, Vayikra el Moshe. This is the first time. Tchilas hadibur. Lelameid al kulam. But it reveals to us that this was the case when? By all of them. Every time Hashem spoke to Moshe, he called out to Moshe. Okay? Hashem spoke to Moshe. Then the Ramban says another pshat. He says it could be that when the pasuk says, Vayikra el Moshe v'yadaber Hashem elav me'o el moed lemor, it could be that Moshe would actually just come to the front of the Ol Moed, and Hashem would speak from within the Ol Moed and speak to Moshe who was standing outside. Could be even when Moshe did approach to hear Hashem communicate, he still kept a little bit of space. But again, it's beautiful to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu summons Moshe. Moshe doesn't assume that he's entitled to just go in whenever he wants. Right? Moshe respects the sanctity of the place. And how even though you don't find every time that Hashem calls Moshe by the endearing term, Moshe, Moshe, you should know that any time Hashem speaks to us, speaks to Moshe, but really I think on a certain level, any time Hashem tries to communicate with any of us as His beloved children, He calls to us. Right? Don't just hear the tzivoy, don't just hear the command. Hear Hashem calling your name. Moshe, Moshe. Kadosh Baruch Hu calling out to us. Okay? Okay, Chaver, let's turn to Perek Aleph Pasuk Dalet, the paragraph that begins Ve'isi ba'agada. Yeah.
While the Torah emphasizes here, Moshe was afraid why is it emphasized here when it's sort of like the, Har Sinai, but it's like kind of continuation.
But the Ramban said it was the same thing at Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, he also waited for a Vayikra. Right, why is it more spelled out here? I guess because Har Sinai was really a momentary experience, and here, right, where there's like an ongoing relationship, you might get comfortable and think like, okay, now, you know, like, I don't wait for the call every time. I just, now I can go. Moshe, out of utter respect for the Shechina, waited for the call. Okay, Chavi, you see the paragraph for Isi Ba'agada? Parak Aleph, Pasuk Dalet? You have that paragraph? The Pasuk is V'samach Yodo Al Rosh HaOla, that when you bring a carbon Ola, so the you rest your hands, right? You have to do smicha on the Ola. You rest your hands upon the Ola. And then, V'nirtza Lo L'chaper Alav. It will be accepted for him as a kapara. You see the paragraph for Yeshiva Agava? What page? Zion. It's a separate paragraph.
Bottom right.
Okay. So let's learn. Let's learn something about the carbon ola. After all, again, Parshas Vayikra, we have to be open to learning about carbonos. Okay. So the first carbon is im ola carbonos. You bring a ola. What's a carbon ola, Chavra? A burnt offering, entirely burnt. No part of it is eaten by the Kohanim. Right? The Ola is entirely burnt. What is an Ola brought for? So says the Ramban, V're'isi ba'agada b'vayikra rabbi. I saw in the Medrash the following. Tani Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Says the Heilige Rashbi. Ein ha'Ola ba'ela al hirhure averos halev. A carbon Ola is brought for the sins of the heart, of the mind. Amar Rabbi Levi, says Rabbi Levi, Mikra Malehu. Yes, Mikra Malehu, yes, we have a pasuk that indicates that. V'ha'ola al ruchachem, hayo lo siya. Ha'ola al ruchachem. The way he reads the pasuk is, ha'ola mechaperes ala ola al ruchachem. The ola is a kapara for that which enters your mind. Carbon Ola is brought for what? For Hirhure Halev, for Averos Shebelev. The Lachain B'Iov Omer, similarly we find in Sefer Iov. V'hel La'olos Mispar Kulam, Ki Amar Iov Ulai Chatu Vanai, Uverchu Elokim Bilvavam. Iov used to bring a lot of carbonos. He would bring a carbon Ola, because he said, maybe my children had immoral or improper thoughts in their mind, in their heart. So he was always bringing carbon olos to try to fix even our intentions. Hada amra ein ha'ola ba el al hirhure halev comes to teach us that a carbon ola is offered for hirhure halev, for the thoughts of the heart. So says the Ramban, so now we understand. V'hatam shelefi shehu chet she'ein makir bo el ha'shem, lefichach ola kolil ha'shem. Since this is a type of aveira that no one knows about other than you, it's what's in your mind, it's what's in your heart. If I know, if I saw you doing aveira, so you bring a carbon, okay. But if a person chooses to bring a carbon, right, because of Yehure Averos Halev, right, so such a thing is only known to Hashem. So since the chait is ein, again, she'ein makir bo el Hashem, lefichach ola kalil Hashem. So therefore, the ola is brought entirely to Hashem. The whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach. It's given entirely to Hashem. Interesting. Interesting that the Torah starts with carbon ola. Dabriel v'nei Yisrael v'amarta leim odim ki akrim mikam carbon l'Hashem. If a person wants to bring a carbon to Hashem, right? And then we begin. Im ola carbono. If he is bringing a carbon ola. Right? So what should it be? Im ola karbonom in a bakar zacher tamim yakrivenu al pesach ol moed yakrivo so lirtzo no. It should be an expression of his ratzon. Right? It should be an expression of his ratzon. Lifnei Hashem. Right? Okay, if he commits to bring an ola and he doesn't bring it, sometimes, you know, kofeno so achiyomu rotzani. Right? Same thing like we had by Gita. Okay, hang on 1 second, Chavah. Hang on with the questions for a second. Let the Ramban finish. Ulashon v'nirtza lo. And why does the pasuk say, when he brings this carbon ola, he places his hands upon it, and nirtza lo, it'll be accepted for him. What does that mean? What do you mean, nirtza lo, it'll be accepted for him? So the Ramban says, Ulashon nirtza lo, yachzor al Hashem hanichbar haniskar. Nirtza lo is going back on Hashem. She is ratzalo b'karban hazeh l'chaper alav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be appeased by this karban to forgive you. Milashon uvama yisratza ze el Adonav. How will one find favor before his master? Or the pasuk of Or Panecha ki ritzisam v'chein rabim. Many psukim of this. It's an appeasement. V'yitachein ki v'nirtza kinoi lecheit. In a certain sense, nirtza means what? What's appeased? The aveira itself is appeased. She nirtza lo cheto lechaper alav. Nirtza means, have a think about it. Why am I doing this piece? Because what's the last step of the Haggadah? Nirtza. Halel nirtza. What is nirtza? Nirtza means desire, ratzon, right? Appeasement. But nirtza, being the concluding step of what? Of the Haggadah, also means conclusion. Because it's the last step. So also, nirtza, he says, is going on the aveira. You have an aveira. You have a strike against you. It's on the record. Nirtza means now it's finished. Now it's concluded. Now you're paid up. You're no longer getting that bill in the mail. You still owe money for this or that. Finally, nirtza, gemarnu, finished. Milashon ki nirtza avona, or adrotza ha'ares ha'shapsosel, ve'im yirtzu es avona, many psukim, that indicate that nirtza means lashon ha'shalama, completion, done, we're even, we're good now. Hashem, I did something that I was embarrassed of, I made a mistake, now nirtza, now we're paid up. V'yitachin shukin yin arishon, but again, it all goes with the original idea, the appeasement and the being finished with the Avera go hand in hand. Meaning, Ki'ilu ha'avon ratzor lifnei Hashem. Now the Avera is ratzor lifnei Hashem, agreeable before Hashem. Agreeable, Hashem likes your Avera? No, it just means now we're even, now we're good. Lo yichar apo od. Kodesh Baruch was not mad at me anymore. We're paid up. Right? I took achrayas for the mess that I made. I paid my debts. Hashem now finds me favorable again, and Hashem is no longer mad at me. Hashem is no longer upset at me. Okay? So it's interesting that Ola is the Ola is completely offered to Hashem because it's for Averos that only Hashem knows about. The Ficha Ola Kalila Hashem. And then it goes on and it tells you how to sprinkle the blood of the Ola. Yeah.
What does that mean?
You're asking a good kasha. So we have to get to the most famous Ramban, which we're about to do right now. The most famous Ramban was probably the central Ramban, not just for Parshas Vayikra, but really for all of Chumash Vayikra, is Perek Aleph Pasuk Tes. Okay, so turn to Perek Aleph Pasuk Tes. What is a karbon? Why do we have karbonos? Machlokas Rambam and Ramban. However, this is Judaism 101. Okay, you got to know this Ramban. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes. We're looking for the paragraph, which is probably the second, maybe third paragraph. Vihine b'kasuv hazeh. Who's got it? Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes, Vihine, page Tes. Okay, take a look. It says that when you bring a karban, it's a ishei, it's a fire offering, reyach nichalach laHashem, a pleasing aroma for Hashem. However, what are karbanos? Does God need our karbanos? What are we doing with the karban? Says the Ramban, I want to tell you the opinion of the Rambam, and then he has some very strong words for the Rambam, as we've seen in the past. Okay, v'hine b'kosuv hazeh. Have you have it? Yes? Yes? Hello? Anyone there? Yes? You guys have it? Okay, good. Okay, v'hinei. Because of hazeh, tama karbanos. This pasuk tells us the reason for karbanos. It's an ishei reach nichalach laHashem. Hashem loves the smell of a karban. Really? Hashem loves the smell of a karban? Amar harav b'moyre nevuchim. Who's the rav? The Rambam. The Rambam in his guide for the perplexed. Moyre nevuchim. He writes, ki tama karbanos. And get chizuk from this. This is strong. Ba'avur sham mitzrim va'kastim, the Egyptians, the kastim, the Chaldeans. Asher hayu Yisrael geirim v'toshavim ba'artza me'olam, the nations of the world who we've so often lived under them or among them. Hayu ovdim lebakar v'latzon. For some strange reason, their avodah zara was sheep, cattle. They worshipped animals. Ki amitzrim oivdim letale. The Egyptians, they worshipped the Karban Pesach, which of course we took and we shechted. They worshipped, right, the Teleh, the Shepsalah, the little sheep. The Teleh in the constellations, Teleh is the greatest of the Mazalos. In other words, they worship the stars, the Teleh. The Akastim, Oivdim, Lashedim, and the Chaldeans, they worship all sorts of demonic spirits, Asher Yeh-Ra'u Lahem B'dumus Se'irim, that appear like goats. Rabban has some interesting comments later on. We talk about the Sar La'Zazel, right? The relationship between the Sitra Achra and Shedim and goats, the devil with his horns. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? Weird stuff. They worship all sorts of unusual things. They worship demonic beings that appear in the appearance of goats. Va'anche Hodu, and the people of Hodu, the people of India, Ad Hayom, says the Ramban, until my time. He's writing in real time. Lo yishchetu bakar la'olam. They would never shech the cow, because they worship it. Strange. Worship animals. So says the Rambam, you know what a carbon is? Ba'avur kein tziva lishchot eila shlosha minim l'shem ha'nichbad. So we take the cattle, and we take the goats, and we take the sheep, and we slaughter all of them, and we offer them to Hashem. Kidei shiyavada ki adavar shayu choshim ki heim betachlis ha'aveira. What they would have considered, what these nations would have considered to be the biggest aveira, to murder a god, to shech the sheep, to slaughter a cow. Hu asher yakrivu labayre. That's what we offer to Hashem. We slaughter their gods, right? And we turn it into the service of Hashem. We do the thing that for them would be the biggest aveira, for us we make it into a big mitzvah. Uvo yiskapru avonos. And in that way we get kapara for our sins. Says the Rambam, ki kein yisrapu ha'emunos ha'ra'os. Because the way to heal emunos ra'os, bad beliefs, shehem madvei ha'nefesh, which can be called illnesses of the soul, wrongful ideas. However, if you have a bad idea in your head, it's a sickness. It's a spiritual sickness. If you believe in ideas that are not Hashem's belief, so that's called being spiritually sick. Emunos raos, false beliefs. Illnesses of the soul. You know how you heal them? Ki kol madve v'chol choli, all illness, all forms of sickness, lo yisrape ki im behefcho, are so often healed by the opposite. You heal an illness by the opposite. Again, the first example that always comes to mind is a person who has cancer, God forbid, and is going through chemotherapy treatments, which is mamish ben ha'afachom. It's a total ben ha'afachom. You're putting poison in the body to live. You're poisoning the body in order to heal. That's davar v'hifucha. It's a thing and it's opposite. We never put poison into a healthy body, but into a body that's sick, poison is the ticket to healing. So therefore, for them, the goat is Kodesh Kodashim, the bull, the sheep, right? They would never slaughter it. So how do we emerge from that false belief? By dafka shechting it. By dafka doing the thing that they held to be an aveira, we're metaking it by making it into a mitzvah called karbanos. Adkan, the words of the Rambam, Eila Dvarav Uvehem Harif. These are the words of the Rambam, and he has more to say about this. It says the Ramban, very strong words. You don't have to read them so negatively, but they're strong. You can't argue they're not strong words. Vihine heim divrei havai. The words of the Rambam are divrei havai. How would you translate havai? If we want to be generous, the Rush, in his commentary to Maseches Tamid, says havai means imprecise. Words that are not so precise. If you want to be more strong about it, you could say they're rather silly. They're foolish words. It's ridiculous. You think that's what a karban is? A karban is just a way. This whole book, Chumash Vayikra, this whole book is just to get us away from some silly pagan belief? Says the Ramban, God forbid. It's like Yirapu Shever Gadol V'Kushir Rabba Al Nikala. It's like trying to heal, you know, a person who, like, I don't know, was in a God forbid, a terrible car accident and has many broken bones, and you give the guy a Band-Aid. Like, here, take this Band-Aid. Guy's like, I need an emergency room. I need surgery. I need my bones reset. You give him a Band-Aid. You think that the whole Indian of Karbanos is just to try to get us away from some silly idolatrous belief, says the Ramban. Yasu Shulchan Hashem Migal. This is a disgrace to the Shulchan Hashem. This is a disgrace to the Mizbeach, is what he's saying. This is what Karbanos are. She'einenu rak lahotzi miliban shel rishayim v'tipshei olam. All of Karbanos is just a refutation to remove from the hearts and minds of the wicked and the stupid people of the world with stupid, silly, false beliefs. V'akosiv amar kihem lechem ishei reach nichalach. Perek aleph pasuk tes chevra. It says that a karban is what? Is an ishei reach nichalach l'Hashem. It's a delightful aroma for Hashem. So you think just not being an idiot is delightful to Hashem? Not having false beliefs is delightful to Hashem? So you could push back and say, yeah, of course it is. It's very hard to change your beliefs. If you've adopted an Avodah Zarah worldview and you overcome that, that's a big celebration. Ramban says, getting out of the mud is not the big celebration. This is like all Sur Meirah. It's like getting out of stupidity. That can't be the whole thing. And more than that, says the Ramban, even according to the foolishness of these Egyptians and these other cultures, this is not a solution. You know why? Because what you're saying is what? I can take their God and I can offer it to our God. Right? It's still like I'm making an avoda out of it. You want to disgrace it, you know what you should do? I have a good idea. You want to disgrace their gods, you know what you should do? You should take their God, you should hold it hostage, you should slaughter it, you should roast it right in front of their faces, and then you should eat it. That's what Karban Pesach is. Alright. That says the Ramban, that I get. But now we're gonna take it, make a whole sacred procession out of it, and based on Mikdash and Mishkan. Well, you're giving credence to it. Right? You're making the injury worse. Ki machsheves harishom aniskarm la'avod l'mazel tileh, l'mazel shor. They worship the mazel of Nisan. They worship the mazel of Iyar. They worship the horoscope, the astrology, the stars. Sheyeshlem koach, kefi machshavtam. They think that the heavenly spheres have powers. V'lachein lo yochlu asam lechvod kocham v'yasolam. They would never eat these animals. They would never eat it. Aval im yizbechu asam l'shem hanichbad zeh kavod lamu ma'ila. But if you offer it on a mizbeach, your high priest is given permission to offer these holy sacrifices. That gives honor to their false beliefs. And by the way, they do give karbanos. They will sometimes take their animals. They would never eat it, God forbid. They wouldn't eat a hamburger. But they would take it and offer it as part of a religious ceremony. So that's what we're doing. Kamosha Amar, like the pasuk says, V'lo yizbechu od asiv chayim l'si'irim. When it speaks against it, it says that they do this. Va'oseha egel zivchulo. And when they made the chayt egel, they offered karbanos to the egel. Right? So there is a notion of taking their gods and making them into a sacrifice. Va'rav maskir shayim makrivim lo levana b'chol reshichat shehem. And you yourself, Rambam, you admit that they have a monthly ceremony on Rosh Chodesh, v'lashemesh, v'olasa, v'mazolos, hayaduim. They have certain calendar dates where they bring sacrifices of their animals as a means of elevating their gods. So if you want to really heal the illness of Avodah Zarah, says the Ramban, v'yoyser tisrape ha-machla, if you want to heal the illness, you know what you need to do? Ba'achleinu mehem l'sova. If we eat their gods, if we turn them into hamburgers and hot dogs, if we turn it into a steak, yeah? Shu osarla, that's very us. That in their mind, they would never do that. Umaguna be'enem, that's repulsive in their eyes, that's disgraceful. The lo yasu kein lo, that they would never do. But to take their gods and to make it into offerings, they do that also. They would see that as a great honor. More than that, says the Ramban. V'hinei noach mitzeisom min ha-teiva, when Noach came out of the teiva with his three sons and shloshes banav, ein ba'olam kastil mitzri, there were no Chaldeans, there were no Egyptians. And yet Noah had a sense of what? Hikriv karban v'yita v'enei Hashem. Noach brought a karba, not as a response to Egyptians or Chaldeans or Indian people from India, of Hodu. It was not a response to them. He offered a karban as an offering to Hashem, and it was well received. Va'amar bo v'yarach Hashem es reach anichoach. Hashem delighted in it. U'vimenu amar alibo. And Hashem responded, lo osif l'kal oras ha'adama b'avur ha'adam. I'm not going to curse the world anymore. V'hevel. What about Kain and Hevel? Hevel hevi gamu mi'b'chol rasono mi'chaldeyan. Hevel also brought karbanos and their fats. Va'yisha Hashem el Hevel. Hashem turned towards Hevel v'al minchaso. And he accepted his gift. So you want to tell me that karbanos is just a way of breaking idolatrous beliefs? Karbanos are delightful in the eyes of Hashem. It's a yishei rech nichoach l'Hashem. In the times of Hevel, v'lo ha'yadayin ba'olam shemetz avodah zarah klal. There was no false beliefs that Hevel was responding to. How about Bilam? Bilam was not a tzaddik. Bilam was a big rasha. But Bilam also is busy what? He's building Shiva Samizbachos Arachti Va'o'ol Par Va'ayel Bamizbeach. Why was Bilam offering karbanos in order to get prophecy? Bilam was certainly not rejecting idolatrous beliefs. He understood that one way to get close to Hashem is to offer karbanos. Ve'ein da'ito ato lishlo mimeno emunos raos. Bilam wasn't offering karbanos to conquer false beliefs. V'lo nitzav b'kach. He wasn't commanded to do that at all. Aval asa kein lekarva el Elokim, to get close to Hashem. Kadesha yachol alav adibor, in order to communicate with God. Bilam was the greatest prophet of the Umas HaOlam. And that's what a karban is. U'lishon ha-karbanos es karbani lachmi li'ishai reyach nichochi. So concludes the Ramban, v'chalila shalo yehei bahem shum to'eles v'ratzon. God forbid to say there's nothing positive from a karban. Rak shoylelos avodazara midas hashotim. It's simply to negate. Sholel means to negate. To negate the avodazara ideology, right? The idolatrous ideology of the fools. That's what a karban is. Says the Ramban, no way. So chaver, listen up, and listen good, because we don't have karbanos today, in the regular sense. But if you understand what a karban is, you'll realize that any time you make a little bit of self-sacrifice for Hashem, that's also a karban. When you challenge yourself to be bigger than your body, that's called a karban. Listen. V'yoser ro'oi lishmoa hatam sha'omim b'ham. What makes a lot more sense to me, says the Ramban, what others have said. In his, Ramban has a famous drasha called Torah Hashem Tamima. And there he quotes from the Ibn Ezra as having this position. What makes more sense to you is what others say. Ki ba'avur shema'asei b'nei adam. And this answers your question mark. Right? A karban, yes, has to be a response to what? To the thoughts of a person, to the speech of a person, to the actions of a person. Listen carefully. Ki ba'avur shema'asei b'nei adam nigmarim b'machshava uvedibor uvemaisa. Our actions, our emotions, our words, the behaviors of a person are expressed, are completed, right? Find expression in the world through thought, through speech, and through action. Tziva Hashem. So Hashem commanded, Ki kasher yechta yavi karban. When you sin with your mind, when you sin with your speech, when you sin with your actions, we bring karbanos. Yismach yadav alav. Place your hand, lean your weight upon the karban. Metaphorically, placing yourself on the shoulders of that karban. Put your hands on the karban and realize that my hands did these averos, did these actions. And confess over that karban. For the words that you spoke that should never have been spoken. And then you burn in fire the innards, the kidneys, which are seen as sources of wisdom, sources of guidance within a person's body, shame klei hamachshava v'ataiva. Take the organs that represent the thoughts, the desires of a person's. V'akra'ayim keneged yadav v'raglav shal adam ba'osim kol melachto. You burn the kra'ayim, the hands, the legs, right, the feet, so to speak, representing the places I've gone and the things that I've done with my hands, right, my actions, the things I've been immersed in. And I sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. Look where I put my my soulfulness. I put so much energy into rebelling against my Creator. To remind myself, I didn't use my body the way it was supposed to be used. I didn't use my neshama the way it was supposed to be used. And listen to these words, they're very strong. They're hard to hear, but we have to realize accountability for our actions. When I do an avera, my dam, my nefesh, should be taken from me. My body should be destroyed, should be burnt. Lulei chesed habore shalakach mimenu tmura v'chiper akarban azeh, she'edamo tachas damo, nefesh tachas nefesh, v'roshe evare karban, can I get roshe evarov? But Hashem in his rachmanes said, I'll let you give an animal instead. But realize the animal's blood should be your blood. The animal's body should be your body. The animal's limbs should be your limbs. V'hamanos, and the portions that you give to the Kohen, right, like the shloach manos, the gifts, the portions that the Torah offers to the Kohanim, l'chayos b'hen morei ha-Torah, to sustain the workers of the Beis HaMikdash, namely the Kohanim, the teachers, our rebellion, our teachers of Torah, she'ispalu alav. You know why you give a gift to the Kohen? So the Kohen can daven for you, that Hashem should forgive you. Because really, you should be the carbon. That's what we're learning. You should be the carbon, says Rambam. The carbon tamid, and you know why we bring a carbon tamid, baboker ba'erev, twice a day? Bavur shelo yinatzlu harabim nechato tamid. Because as a tzibur, we have collective guilt on an ongoing basis. Right? In the morning, in the evening, representing, you know, the division of the day and the night, the two periods of time by which a day is divided, there's an ongoing debt that we have to pay. Ve'ela dvar miskablim, and these ideas are understandable, they make sense. Moishlim esalev kedivrei agada, and they draw our hearts like a good medrash, even though it's not, again, this idea is not necessarily found explicitly in the medrash. Ironically enough, interestingly enough, the Rambam's position that karbanos are to help get us away from avodah zarah is actually found in the medrash. In Vayikra Rabbah, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us karbanos as a way of getting us away from the avodah zarah karbanos that we were used to from the different societies that we lived under. But the Rambam, when he says they're different havai, I don't think he's saying they're entirely stupid. The Rambam's point actually makes a lot of sense. But you can't stop there, is what the Rambam says. Because to say that the whole Indian of karbanos is just to overcome a negative philosophy of idolatrous beliefs, that's not enough. Why is that an Ishei Reach Nichoach L'Hashem? Ishei Reach Nichoach L'Hashem means that I take real deep accountability for my actions. That when I bring a carbon, I place my hands on it, and I'm crying over it, and I'm saying vidoy, and I'm really feeling deeply that should be me. I should be the one who fouled out of the game. And Hashem in His Rachmanis is willing to take this animal in my stead, in my place. That's a big gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. That's what a carbon is, yeah.
I mean, that's the same thing as kind of rationalizing or giving a reason towards any of the mitzvahs that we're doing. Like, oh, this mitzvah, like, pretty much all mitzvahs are chukim. Like, that's, in a sense, if you can allude a mitzvah to a specific reason why you're doing it,
yeah,
then it kind of, like, diminishes it and makes it not as holy. So if you're doing that with a korban, then it does the same exact thing.
Yeah, there's always a level of, there's so much more to karbanos, right? The Ramban goes on. I mean, he goes on to Kabbalah now in the next section. And part of the reason he goes into Kabbalah, because why? What do we just answer? We just explained what? How a karban, we explained the positive quality of a karban if what? If you sinned. But what about an nedava? What about a free will offering? What's that about? So that's why the Ramban continues. The Mefarshim on the Ramban say that the Hemshech, the secret of the karban is deeper than that. Because karban is not just a response to avodah zarah, it's not just a response to aveiros like the Ramban added. A karban is an opportunity to somehow draw close to Hashem. Why? What is that?
It's kind of like, it's such a process and there's even if you don't sin, like you're just saying, it's such a process and it's like kind of like the ultimate, it's like the ultimate, you're like show you're putting in so much work for no benefit. And that's why it's so special, even when you're like when you don't sing, because you're not benefiting off it.
Right, right, what am I getting? Right. So much work. Right. Supporting, I'm supporting the Kohanim, right? I'm giving something up for Hashem. Yeah. Brings you close to Hashem. Brings you close. Yeah, Jonah.
Isn't the Ramban explanation just an explanation on its own, isn't it? The Kabbalah seem really similar to just like parts of Kippur.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. What's happening in Kippur is more is a full cleanup for the whole year, right? It's an ongoing cleanup. We're gonna see in a moment, right, that some averos require a little, you know, more effort, more cleanup, more work than others, yeah. Are gathered before Hashem, yeah.
Yitzhak, like, real body went up to Shemayim, and, like, his ashes were kind of what was left.
It shows you that the intention of it sort of makes it a reality, yeah.
So
we do offer ourselves. If you put your heart into it.
There is sort of a back of the Rambam position in the Midrash that, like, when you offer a korban, it's really you supposed to be on the Mizbeach, but the animals in their place.
That's right. And then because Avram was so 100% committed to giving up Yitzhak, it's ki ilu, he really did. And that's what every carbon could and should really be.
It's also,
yeah.
Also Kavanah. Like,
yeah.
If you meant to do a mitzvah, it's something I control.
100%. It leaves a real mark in the Shemayim. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, Chava, just a couple more short ones. Let's go to Pasuk Yud Dalet. What happens if you bring a bird? Want to see a beautiful Ramban? Look at this. Pasuk Yud Dalet. V'im min ha'of ola karbano la Hashem. If you bring a bird offering as an ola, what birds are you eligible to bring? You could bring Torim, Mina Torim, or Min Bnei Hayona es Karbano. You could bring Torim, turtle doves, or you could bring Bnei Yona. You could bring young common doves. That's how it's translated here in my Chayenu. Okay? So what's the difference between the grown turtle doves and the young doves? Or pigeon, sometimes translated, the Bnei Yona. Okay, let's see. So says the Ramban, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Bachar hakosuv b'shnei haminim ha'ela. And I wonder, why did Hashem pick these two birds in particular, Toirim and Bnei Yona? Why did Hashem pick these birds? The answer is, Hashem selected these two minim, these two species, b'shvil shehein mitsuyin ukrovim lihi tofes yoser. Because they're accessible, they're easily caught. Right? They're always nearby. All you have to do is stick your hand out our window and you'll catch yourself a little. No? No? We keep our karbanas close by, no?
We're ready.
They're building a nest right outside. No? Easily accessible. Ready to be brought as a karban. Okay. But kasher his kiur abosenu, like Chazal tell us in the Medrash, se kisavim v'se izim. Why did Hashem choose a sheep and a goat? You know why? Sheyakriv min hagedelim al evuso. To be able to bring something that grows right in your, right by your trough, right by your barn, right by your field. Right? Take the animals that are accessible to you. V'lo yitzarech l'seis kelev talyo v'kashto l'tzud sayid lavi. Imagine if you have to bring a carbon, you have to grab your bow and arrow and go hunting to find the right animal. Oh, Hashem says, I'll give you the animal that's right in your backyard. It's in your pen, it's in your barn, it's in your backyard. Hashem wanted to make it easy for us to be able to what? To bring a carbon. That's a rachmanis. That's part of the rachmanis of Hashem also. He picked creatures that are accessible to us. Okay, but more than that. Why by the toirim is it dafka? The grown turtle doves. And why by the yona is it dafka? The bnei yona, the young bnei yona. Ratzah b'torim ha'gedolim. You know why? Ba'avur pri'shusan v'hidovkom v'yadua mehem. Because of their pri'shus and their dveikus to the ones that are known to them. What does that mean? Apparently, let's keep reading. Shekevan sha'avad ben zugo lo yidbak ba'acher la'olam. The turtle dove is known for its loyalty to its mate. It separates, it selects, it gets married, so to speak, and it's faithful to its mate, that when its ben zug, when its mate passes away, Lo yidbak ba'acher lolam. It doesn't remarry. It doesn't cling to another. V'chein Yisrael dvukim ba'ashem Eloheim v'lo yidbuku be'el acher lolam. And that represents the what? The essential Jewish faithfulness. That we will never have a New Testament. We will never replace an old God with a new God. Right? Hashem is Hashem HaYehovah V'yeh. And our relationship with Him is such that He won't replace us and we're not going to replace Him. So Hashem selected a bird that has a certain midah, a certain quality that is very desirable. What about the Yonim? What about a Yonah? The Yonim kana'im ma'od. A Yonah, a grown Yonah, is very jealous. Uvikin'asam yispardu v'yachlifu. And because of that, sometimes the grown Yonah, right, the adult, so to speak, Yonah, is not faithful, is not loyal. It separates and exchanges its mate for another. Al-kein lo bachar behem elak tanim kodim shiuzdavgu. So if you're going to take a Yonah, you got to take a young Yonah, one that's never been married before. Because when they get older, and they develop whatever that means in their dove reality, right, some type of desire, sexual desire, so then they're not faithful to their mate. So Hashem says, I don't want a grown, an adult Yonah. Adult Torim are very impressive. Dafka, as they settle into life, they are representative of the faithfulness. But the Yonah, right, the grown Yonah, unfortunately becomes very jealous and apparently does not maintain its loyalty to its mates. Only Bnei Yonah, the young Yonah, is fit for a karban. Ki a Yonah bekatnusa, o tosefes ava bekein gidula yoser mishar ofos. When the Yonah is small, right, it's given extra love and care and protection. V'izkiru rabosenu chazal say in the Medrash, ki kol ha'ofos im yiga adam bakein shalhem lakachas misham efroichem ha'beitzim yazvu v'liyakanlu bololam. There's an idea in the bird world that if you touch the bird's nest, if you touch the eggs, sometimes the mommy bird says, I'm out. Once you touch it, it leaves, it abandons it. But the Yonah lo ta'azvenu b'shuminyan. But the Yonah has a certain what? Has a certain loyalty that it doesn't abandon. The Chayin Yisrael, right? The Yonahs are not does not abandon its young. The Chayin Yisrael lo yachlifu boiram v'tarasa la'olam. Ela o Yehudi o tzaluv. A Jew says, either I'm a Jew, or tzaluv, or I'm hung up. In other words, kill me. Kill me for my Yiddishkeit. I'm not going to abandon my faith. I'd rather die. O Yehudi o tzaluv. O Yehudi o tzaluv. So again, I'm a little confused. Right? And then he says, V'lo bachar b'tarnagolim l'zimas nusam. We're not allowed to use a tarnagol because tarnagolim are apparently very promiscuous. Right? So again, I don't know exactly what's what. I don't know how to translate. Again, the Chayenu translates the Torim as turtle doves and the Yonah as the common dove. Apparently, Torim, even as they're older, they have a faithfulness to their mate. The Yonah apparently protects its young and won't abandon its young, even if someone touches its eggs or its nest, as opposed to other birds which will. But the bottom line is, the theme, again, I have to talk to my dad. My dad's the bird guy. Dad's a big bird guy. But the bottom line is, the theme of the selection of these two types of birds, of Torim and Bnei Yonah, is dafka an expression of, first of all, accessibility. Hashem wants to make it easy for us to bring karbanos. But more than that, it represents a certain faithfulness and a certain loyalty and an absolute commitment of us to Hashem and Hashem to us. Okay? All right, let's do one final Ramban. You should just note that it says in this week's parsha that you're not allowed to have chametz or honey in your karbanos. And the Ramban quotes the Rambam that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, all of their karbanos are chametz. Something to think about, the relationship between chametz and avodah zarah, as opposed to the world of matzah, which is the world of, again, emunah. Matzah is called mechul d'me'amnusa, the food of faith. Okay? But however, one final Ramban that you have to know before we conclude, and that's Perek Dalid Pasuk Beis. Perek Dalid Pasuk Beis. Nefesh ki sechta b'shkaga. Very interesting pasuk. Perek Dalet pasuk Beis. What page? Daber Hashem al Moshe. Lemur. Daber al Bnei Yisrael. Lemur. Go tell Bnei Yisrael. Nefesh kisechta bishkaga mikol mitzvos Hashem. Asher lo se asana va'asa me'achas mehena. If a person unintentionally violates one of Hashem's mitzvos. Shogeg. It doesn't say Adam kisechta. What does it say? Nefesh. Which loosely translates means a person. Nefesh kisechta, when a person makes a mistake. Why does it say nefesh? Why does it say nefesh? Says the Ramban. He's a big achrayis. Again, you can look at Sefer Vayikra and say, nah, Vayikra, none of it's relevant. We don't have a mishkan. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. I don't bring karbanos. But think about the responsibility to take achrayis for our sins. Why does it say when a nefesh makes a mistake? When a nefesh sins unintentionally? Ba'avur heyos ha-machshava b'nefesh. Because chevra, the greatest gift that Hashem gave us is what? Our ability to think. Hashem gave us a nefesh. My body's an animal. My body's instinctive. My mind, my soul can think, can make choices. Bechira. Nefesh kisechta. Bavur hayos ha-machshava b'nefesh. Since my machshava is in my soul. V'hi ha-shogeges. And I miscalculated here. I erred. Hizkir kan nefesh. Hizkir kan nefesh. It mentions what? It mentions the nefesh. Why does it mention the nefesh? Because the nefesh is the one that should have what? That should have directed the body not to do that. Not to do that action. Okay. Okay. Listen to the dasa kanim of the Balei Tosfos. We have collections of the Balei Tosfos on Chumash. It's printed sometimes on the page in the Mikras Gedolos, sometimes in the back. In the back of the Mikras Gedolos is Chumash. Das Zekeinam Bibali Tosfos. Here's what Tosfos, the Balei Tosfos, wrote on this pasuk. Ready for this? Listen to this. Adam ki yechta ein ksivkan. It doesn't say when a person sins. What does it say? Nefesh. However, listen to this. This is one of the most important things I've taught you all year. Nefesh ki sechta. It doesn't say Adam ki yechta. It says nefesh ki sechta. V'chein ha-nefesh ha-chotas hitamus. It says in Sefer Yecheskel, the soul that sins should die. It doesn't say the person, it says the soul. Lahodia she'iker ha-chet toloi b'nefesh. To teach us that your averos are primarily the mistake of your soul. Mashal l'shnei b'nei Adam. A mashal of two people. Shechatu lemelech, who sinned against the king. Echad nachri, one of them is a stranger. He has no relationship with the king. Someone who lives far from the palace. Ve'echad mibnei platrin shelo. And the other one who sinned is what? He's from the king's palace. He works, he's one of the noblemen. He works, he's part of the king's cabinet. Helu shneim lebima ladun. They were both taken up to the platform to be judged. V'tziva ha-melech liftor es ha-nachri. The king said to the foreigner, to the stranger, get out of here. V'ez ben platrin, and the one who he was so close with, his trusted,
Chamberlain,
yeah, of the palace, ladun b'yisurim, afflict him with terrible suffering. Amr lo b'nei platrin shalom. So all the other people of the king's inner world, they turned to the king and they said, "V'lo gam zeh chotelecha. Why do you let this guy off the hook? And you hold your dear chamberlain, nobleman, you know, cabinet member, so highly accountable." Amar lehem, the king said, "I'll tell you why. It's very simple. Zeh nachri ve'eno makir b'toyvi. This one's a stranger. He doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know the rules of the kingdom. He doesn't appreciate how great I am and what I've done to build this kingdom. But this one who's from my house, who's from my inner world, he knows how good I am. And he dares to rebel against me. He deserves what he gets. Say the Balei Tosfos, the body is what? Body. What does the body know about Hashem? Of course the body rebels against Hashem. The body comes from the dirt. What does it know about Hashem? Aval neshama, shehi min ha'alyonim, v'dina lios tahora, elokai neshama shenesata bi tahora hi. My neshama, which knows Hashem very well, afilu hachi chata, has the audacity to sin. La'asid lavo HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi guf and neshama v'danosam. That's why La'asid lavo HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the guf and the neshama together. L'fichach ha'guf hushlach b'kever v'neshama t'kabel yisurim. So Hashem takes the body and says, just go back to the dirt. Go back to where you came from. Neshama, you're going to have to pay the price. So that's chever. That's nefesh kisechta. When we do an avera, Hashem says, I'm not mad at your body. I get it why your body wants to do averas. But your neshama knew better. Your neshama knew better. Your neshama should have had a little bit more respect, a little more self-respect. Respect for me, but also self-respect. So let's just finish the Ramban. It says the Ramban. Nefesh kisechta b'shkaga. Who says this? The Balei Tosfos. It's called Das Sekenim mi Balei Tosfos. Das Sekenim mi Balei Tosfos. Okay? I'll put a picture of it in the WhatsApp group for people to do something with, because you can't forget that. Hashem says to your neshama knew better. You don't have an excuse. Your body has all the excuses in the world. I get it. But come on. Where's the brain I gave you? I gave you a good neshama. Why didn't you use it? So again, it's exactly what the Ramban is hinting to here, very quickly. Nefesh ki sechta b'shkaga. Ba'avur hayos ha-machshava b'nefesh. Since your machshava is in your nefesh. V'hi ha-shogeges. And your neshama is the one that wasn't thinking. It messed up. Hiskir kan nefesh. V'tam ha-karbanos al nefesh ha-shogeges. And the reason for karbanos, for a soul that errs, that unintentionally sins. V'pnei shekol avonos yolidu g'nai b'nefesh. Because when I do an aveira, it does. It takes my pure soul and it makes it g'nai. It damages it. V'hei mumba, and it's a blemish on the soul. V'lo tizke lahakbil p'nei yoytzer rak b'yose tohor mikol chet. And you're not going to be fit to have an encounter with Hashem, to come face to face with your Creator, unless you're pure. So you need to scrub yourself clean. Hashem says, I gave you a clean neshama, I want to get a clean neshama back. So if you do an avera, you got to pay for it. Because if everyone could just come before the king, however they are, so then even the foolish people who don't believe in Hashem would have the opportunity to come face to face with Hashem. Then what's Olam Haba? What are we working at? We're working on trying to refine ourselves. If you do an Avera, you got a stain. If you have a stain, you got to wash it. V'lechein ha-nefesh ha-shogeges, takriv karbon. When a soul does an Avera, it brings a karbon. Shetizke l'karva el-elokim asher nasana. To get close to Hashem once again. And that's why it mentions nefesh. Because it's the soul that is eventually going to be close to its creator. V'raboseinu darshu, and Chazal say in the Medrash, nefesh, l'rabos hagerim, v'avodim. It comes to include, right, not just regular full-fledged Jews, but nefesh means even gerim, even avodim, have the opportunity to bring karbanos and to fix. And in the continuation of the Pesukim, when it talks about the Karban Chatas that the Kohen Mashiach brings, it does not say, V'chiper alav v'nislach lo. It doesn't talk about the cleansing that happens for him, Kashar Hizkir B'shar Achotim, like it does for all the other sinners. B'kal v'nasi v'hedyot. When it talks about the Karbanos that are brought for the Tzibur, or for the Nasi, or for the individual, why is the Kohen Mashiach, why does the Torah not explicitly say that he gets Slicha and Kapara when he brings his Karban? Ulai l'rov ma'alaso, because the Kohen Mashiach, the anointed Kohen, is on a higher level. So he can't just bring a Karban and get Kapara. The higher your level, the more accountability there is. L'rov ma'alaso lo yiskaper v'nislach lo legamri. He doesn't just get to drop off a Karban and get atonement. Maybe a regular Jew can do that. Right? He needs to beg and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please, Hashem, forgive me for my sins. Ki malach Hashem tzavakosu. Because an anointed Kohen is like a malach. He's supposed to be angelic. Right? So when we mess up, Hashem says, your neshama knew better. When a Kohen, anointed Kohen messes up, that much more he needs to know better. V'tzorach li also naki utahar yadayim. And he needs to come before Hashem that much cleaner. So chevra, there's accountability for our actions. The more of an neshama you have, the more accountability that you have. The more Torah you learn, I hate to say it this way, but But the more Torah that we've learned together, it's more achrayis. It's more achrayis. If you were totally uneducated and you did averas, right, you could also say to Hashem, I didn't even know I had a nefesh. But you do know you have a nefesh. And you've learned holy Torah. Right? And you know the names of tzaddikim. And you've studied their svarim. And you've entered into that space. So that means that there's more responsibility. And you have to remember this mashal. Again, the commoner who didn't know the king and sinned against the king, okay, so fine. Well, what could he have known? The king says, just get him out of here. I don't know. But the person who's supposed to know, who didn't know, Hashem says, why didn't you know? Nefesh ki sechta, why didn't your neshama know better? It's a real mussar. And let's try to take it hard in a real way.